Hey, this is Mike Woodard. I'm the senior pastor at Southwest Park Baptist Church in Abilene, Texas. We're excited about sharing our morning worship with you and the preaching ministry of our church. I hope that these messages will be informative, hope that they will be inspiring, hope that they will encourage you in your daily walk with Jesus. And as you listen, pray and allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart and allow the Word to come to life in you.
You have had an incredibly busy summer. We have seen many, many folks go and participate on mission, and we've seen God do some wonderful and amazing things. And now, as I've shared with you on many occasions, the hard work begins, because now we have responsibility to pray and to intercede for those that we've had contact with, and those where seed has been planted, and those where lives have been redirected toward the power and the peace and the place of God. And so I hope that you'll continue to pray for those. And even as we heard testimony this morning for Neil, we pray for Neil. We pray for his life and for all that is happening and all that God desires to do in him. And all over the world, there are people who you've left a mark on. And we pray that God might continue to use the efforts that have been exerted during these last few weeks to make a difference in the world around us. And what a wonderful blessing that is. Over the last 24 hours, we've seen hatred and bitterness and ugliness raise its head once again in our country with two horrific shootings. And during these days, there are people who are left in a daze. Many, many questions yet unanswered, and certainly will remain unanswered for many people for the balance of their lives. And today we have opportunity to just lift our voices in solidarity, to pray for those who have been impacted in a direct way and for those who have also been impacted in indirect ways. For we have no idea what's going on in the hearts and minds of those who are around us. And that's why it is more important than ever that we become vigilant about the needs of those who are immediately around us, because that's something we can do. To reach out and to try to touch those who are lost and those who are separated and those who are disenfranchised and those who are hurting, and to find ways to be able to minister to them and to find ways to help create pathways to peace and to find ways to help restore the brokenhearted, to find ways to help communicate a message of hope and a message of life. And today, as we stand together right now to pray for these who are we're going to stand together and pray, yeah. Today, as we stand together and pray, we pray mindful of those who are hurting in Houston and in Ohio, and those who have lost loved ones, and those who have deep-seated needs. And we also pray for those who are watching on, and those who are listening, and those who are searching for answers that they feel like might be satisfied or justified in ways that would create more harm and more damage. We pray that God would intervene in our world, and that the power of the gospel would be heard, and that life and hope can be found in Him and in Him alone. Father, today we do pray for our brothers and sisters who have lost loved ones, those who have been injured and hurt, who innocently going about their business found themselves in the crosshairs of a fallen world. And Father, we pray that somehow, some way, that Your Spirit might activate the hearts of believers to help find new ways and fresh ways to demonstrate love to a lost and a dying world. And that, Father, we might be able to extend grace to those who are in need. And that, Father, as we stand together today, we do so in an active demonstration of our willingness to be used by You to go and to make a difference. And Father, we thank You for it as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we continue our adventure through the book of Acts, we come to Acts chapter 16, and it's taken us a very long time to get through Acts chapter 16. And if your pastor would stay put for a little while, maybe we'll finish Acts chapter 16 today. If you have your Bible with you, Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 31. They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of night, and he washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and his household. And he brought them into his house, and he set food before them, and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. And when day came, the chief magistrates sent their policemen, saying, "Release those men." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The chief magistrates have sent to release you. Therefore, come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They've beaten us in public without trial, men who are Romans, and have thrown us into prison, and now they are sending us away secretly? No, indeed. But let them come themselves and bring us out." The policemen reported these words to the chief magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and they appealed to them. And when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. They went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them. And then they departed. Father, may you bless the reading of your word today. There are times when we are called to surrender our rights for the sake of the gospel. I'm certain that there are occasions when the Apostle Paul was not a willing but a reluctant recipient of beatings, of mocking, of scourging, of intense interrogation. And yet, reckon that these are a part of the prophetic words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. Words that are recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10. And if you have your Bible, I invite you to flip over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 10, beginning in verse 16. He said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you're to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of our Father who speaks in you." Now, the apostle was familiar with these words that Jesus spoke. He was familiar with this prophetic message, and he had opportunity to oftentimes, I'm certain, reflect on even the life and the misery of our Lord Jesus. Because remember, it was this man, Paul, who wrote to the Philippians that Jesus suffered in an inhumane way as a prisoner, yet an innocent man, who did not seek his way and lay claim to his rights, but instead laid down his very life in order that we might be able to experience salvation. Oh, this morning, think about what Jesus could have done. You know, as the old lyric of the old hymn said, he could have called 10,000 angels, but instead he died alone for you and for me. There are times that we are called to suspend our own personal rights for the sake of the gospel. Now, reckon that Paul did not only suspend his rights on this occasion, but he found himself in similar circumstances later on. And he laid claim to his Roman citizenship. Now, how in the world does Paul have Roman citizenship, this Jew of Jews? In the 22nd chapter, the centurion who was about to beat him said, "Man, I paid big bucks for my citizenship. How Are you a citizen? And he said, I'm a citizen by birth. That means that someone down the way had laid claim to that citizenship, either through an act of service to the Romans. Perhaps maybe his father, grandfather, maybe was a great tent maker just as he was and had provided aid to the Roman soldiers. Or perhaps maybe his father, grandfather, someone had paid the bill and had provided citizenship for those who would come along and help support the cause. And of course, the apostle found himself a persecutor of the church in an attempt to try to help maintain the status quo and to try to help maintain good relationship with the Roman occupation. And yet, on this occasion, he chose to be silent. And one of the reasons that we might see that he chose to be silent was maybe perhaps somewhat strategic on his part. Because Paul found himself separated from his friends, separated from the fellowship, and immediately taken out and in a very quick and swift way, beaten and scourged without having opportunity of a trial nor being able to see his accusers. But perhaps under the influence of the Spirit of God, Paul said, maybe not today, but someday soon, I'll have the opportunity to do just as Jesus prophesied, that I'll have the privilege of being able to speak to the authorities, that I'll have the privilege of being able to say to them what needs to be said, not for my sake, but for the sake of his kingdom. For there are people all around us who need to hear. And oftentimes when we lay claim to our rights, we close the door. Sometimes it happens in seemingly insignificant ways, when maybe perhaps you've been violated at the grocery store by some desperate little lady trying to cut in front of you to get to the checkout line. And you know that in kindergarten you learned everybody has their turn. And you want to lay claim to your rights. And sometimes before our spirit checks what's on our mind and gains control of what's on our lips, words are spoken that ought not be spoken, that do not enhance our opportunity to demonstrate the love of God, nor open doors for his gospel's sake. There are illustrations that abound in your own personal life, where you've been confronted with the opportunity to seek your own rights and to stand up for yourselves, and stand up for yourselves as probably you ought. But there's a way in which we have opportunity to be, just as Jesus said, wise, shrewd, combatants for the sake of the gospel. When we engage this world, we have to be wise. I read the story of a little Italian community that had three violin manufacturers living on the same block. And they lived and worked there for years and years until finally one day the Amani family posted a sign in their window that said, these are the best violins in all of Italy. The Gianneri family over a period of time stopped and contemplated their next move, and finally they posted their sign. And it said, we make the best violins in all the world. The third family, the Stradivarius family, stopped and pondered what their response might be, and finally, they posted their sign. We make the best violins on the block. You know, sometimes a gentle and a kind rebuke, sometimes a gentle and a kind reminder. But we don't have to force our way. We don't have to reinforce our way. But oftentimes, when we humbly go about our business and continue to lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving to God, regardless of our circumstances, chances are good that God is going to provide opportunity that we would never have if we chose to seek our own way and to seek our own rights. You know, the putting aside of self is a remarkable thing. Because it is becoming increasingly more easy to see today when people demonstrate selflessness. The world that we live in today is so incredibly self-absorbed and so self-concerned and so self-contained that it's beginning to stick out when people stand up for others. And certainly when people stand up for others with a good, positive word of life and hope that is found in Christ and in Christ alone. These are days not to fear, but instead, these are days to seize. These are moments where we have the opportunity and the privilege to maybe have a louder voice than ever before, to be able to speak up and to be able to share good news with people who are hurting and people who are desperate all around us. You know, this morning when you think about what Paul did in that encounter as he experienced his beating, and you remember the story, we've recounted it a couple of times, where they were put in the deepest, darkest part of the prison and began to sing, and the earthquake shook the place, and the prisoners were released and yet did not depart. And in that moment, that Philippian jailer, about to take his own life, heard words that became life and light. And as he came and said, "What must I do to be saved?" He said, "Just call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord." There are people all around us where the earth has shaken. There are people all around us who have lost their bearings and have lost their way and are living lives of constant desperation. And today they're asking, "What must I do? What must I do to be rescued from this darkness? What must I do to experience salvation? What must I do to be able to find a better way, a different way of life?" And here the words come, "Call on the name of the Lord." And those words fell on the ears of one who had witnessed another inhumane beating. Another questioning, another challenge. And yet it was not met with the seeking of one's rights, but instead with praise and thanksgiving. Now, those who were in charge, the magistrates, felt that very same earthquake. They felt that very same rumbling, and they were frightened. Because the one thing that they did know is the message that was being declared. That there was a man who was crucified, who was placed in a tomb, and 3 days later was resurrected and appears to be alive in the hearts of others. Now, they didn't fully understand all of that, but they reckoned and understood that there was an incredible, intense power taking place here, and it frightened them to death. And so they sent word to have Paul and Silas released. And Paul said, "I don't think so. I kind of like it here. I kind of like it here. As a result of the Spirit, we seem to have freedom to come and go as we please. As a result of the Spirit, our chains have been removed. As a result of the power of the Spirit, there are happy people in here. And we are rejoicing and praising and thanking God for all that He's doing. We're having a revival down here. I don't think so. You tell them to come and speak to their Roman brothers and explain why they chose to do what they did. Do you see what this wise man is doing? He has forced a confrontation with the leadership. And what is he doing? He's helping to pave the way for those who would remain in that community to have a voice." Oh, they couldn't silence the voice of Paul because of the powerful demonstration of God's presence. But Paul took advantage of the moment. and use the opportunity to be able to elevate the message, to be able to take the message to those who are in authority. And again, providing opportunity for the gospel to have a way when it appeared there was no way. Immediately after they were released, Paul went down to Lydia's house, the place where the first church was planted, and began to share about the goodness of God. And I think a huge part of that message was, guys, take advantage of this opportunity. This window is open today, but it may not be open for long. You know, there are times when maybe a kind act and a bridle tongue and the forfeiture of rights opens a window for the sake of the gospel. Sometimes it opens a big door for the sake of the gospel. But lest God's people are ready to go through that door, ready to seize that opportunity, we never know how long that window of opportunity might be open. Every time that God gives you opportunity and provides a place and provides an opportunity for you to speak the word, as God's Spirit moves upon your heart, share, for the window might not be open for long. You know, there are places in the world that we have been that perhaps maybe it's almost difficult or impossible to return. Because there was a time, a season when the window was open. Now, it's been closed. It is faithfulness to seizing on the moment that we experience the richest blessing that comes from God. That is not having to trust in ourselves, not having to trust in our own ingenuity, but instead to learn to rely on the Spirit of God. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, I send you out as sheep, out into the field of the wolves. But go, be smart. Understand that there's going to be days of persecution and there's going to be hard times. And that when you face one of those moments of opportunity, don't fret about what you're going to say or what you're going to do. But instead, lean on the Spirit. And the Spirit of God will give you everything that you need. Oh, it would be wonderful to be able to open a time of testimony this morning, because many of you understand what that scripture is saying. Many of you have found yourselves in that window of opportunity, and God has given you just the right word to say. He's given you just the right action. And you saw the benefit of the moment that you found yourself in for the sake of the kingdom. And oh, what a place it is to be. There, standing before opportunity, ready to rely on the Spirit of God. And as God speaks, allow His Word to be delivered. And that is a powerful gospel. But it is a powerful gospel that is predicated on our willingness, on the right occasions at the right time, to separate ourselves from our own personal rights and freedoms and take on the life of a bondservant and to be for the kingdom all that God intends for us to be, a faithful witness. A faithful witness. Stand together. Gracious Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for the incredible ways in which You have ministered to us. How at just the right time You have supplied words and thoughts, helped motivate activities in our lives that have helped to produce opportunities for the gospel. And Father, I pray that you might help us to become even more sensitive to the ways in which you might use us to extend good news to the ends of the earth. And Father, we give you thanks for it. Oh, Father, bless now our time as we have opened your word, investigated its truth. And now, Father, help us to appropriate it as we ought. And Father, we give you thanks for it as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.